helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. The most fundamental foundation of a republic is that we, the people, choose our representatives via elections. Now, as I've said before, if the election process is corrupted, if someone other than we, the people, are choosing our representatives, then America is no longer a republic. Now, enter the recent release of evidence that the Federal Bureau of Investigation not only meddled in the 2020 election, but continues to do so. Recent releases of communication between the FBI and Twitter not only provides evidence of FBI meddling in our elections, but that it has been happening under both Republican and Democrat administrations. Almost as if there is a bureaucratic administrator state that acts independent of the elected officials the American people have put in place to govern. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And boy, howdy, these Twitter files have been just a cornucopia of information about malfeasance and meddling and, well, the destruction of your rights that so many people have been warning us about and have so often been poo-pooed as conspiracy theorists. What happens when the conspiracy turns out to be true? We are now in part six of the Twitter files. And as with the others, when they were released, I want to go through some of them and just take a look with you real time. I mean, I haven't gone through and done a lot of analysis and whatnot to beforehand. I'm trying to read these fairly cold so that we can kind of come together to what conclusions we can draw. Now, yes, these dropped on the 16th, but I'm not trying to be the first on scene. I do like to have a chance to kind of let things settle down and see what else comes out alongside. So let's take a look. And this seems to be the focus of this particular thread is the FBI and the contact between FBI officials and agents and Twitter. And it seems to be fairly regular. Between January of 2020 and November of 2022, there were 150 emails between the FBI and the Twitter trust and safety chief, Yoel Roth. Now, that's about 4 to 5 emails a week, if it's average as things are going out. Now, this drop went through Matt Taibbi. He points out that some of these emails were mundane. They were routine, right? For example, a San Francisco agent, Elvis Chan, wishing Roth a happy new year, but also a reminder to attend a quarterly call next week. That gets a little interesting. You see, back in 2016, the FBI created a task force to focus on social media, known as the FTIF. Now, that now has over 80 agents, and they're corresponding with Twitter regularly, allegedly pointing out alleged foreign influence in election tampering. Notice that word of the term, alleged. You know, anything they can allege. You know, listen, I can allege my mother was a Cocker Spaniel. Doesn't mean it's true. But here we have the FBI making allegations and asking Twitter to deal with what they refer to as foreign influence. Now, Matt Taibbi also points out that it wasn't just the FBI. Other federal intelligence and law enforcement agencies were involved in the in dealing with Twitter, including Department of Homeland Security, and they were working with think tanks to help Twitter moderate their content for them. Again, blatant violation of the First Amendment, but doesn't seem to be getting a lot of traction in the Department of Injustice at the moment. And of course, there's no secret that the government analyzes huge amounts of data from all sorts of places, much of it without a warrant. They do a lot of searching that's not reasonable and without a warrant. But again, I'm called a conspiracy theorist for complaining about stuff like that. But what we're seeing from these Twitter files is that FBI, DHS, and many other federal agencies regularly send social media content that they would like flagged, deplatformed, demonetized, pushed down in the rankings. In other words, silenced, or at least quieted down as much as possible. For example, a tweet from FBI El Paso said Election Day protocol for FBI headquarters is to stand up a national election command post, which provides a centralized location for assessing election-related threats. Status reports and complaints are tracked. Have a tip? Send it to tips.fbi.gov. Wait a second. Why is the FBI worried about possible election threats? Unless maybe if they're foreign threats, okay, maybe I could see it. But what about these domestic threats? I mean, I was booted off of Facebook in 2020 for, I believe, because it was the time I was talking about the actual Constitution and law, what they actually say about how the president's elected, and I got booted. Could it be that that was considered a election-related threat to actually educate the people about what the Constitution actually says? And of course, the question is, you know, we're looking at the FBI, but do the FBI and DHS, do they collect data and then flag in-house things they might think problematic? In other words, to suppress the freedom, the right to publish, right? Freedom of the press. No, ladies and gentlemen, freedom of the press doesn't mean the media. In the time of the drafting of the Bill of Rights, press was anyone involved in the art or business of publishing. Just look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. So technically, I'm part of the press. Why? Because I publish a radio program. I also publish a website, books, and numerous articles and other content. So is it the FBI and DHS, are they flagging in order to deprive me my right to freedom of the press and millions of others while we're at it? And as I said, this is ongoing. There's a tweet from at FBI.gov, November 10th of this year, where it said, "Hello, Twitter contacts. FBI San Francisco is notifying you of the below accounts, which may potentially constitute violations of Twitter's terms of service for any action or inaction deemed appropriate within Twitter policy. Best regards, Fred, FBI San Francisco." And they list four accounts. I'm sorry. This is a blatant attempt to suppress the press. Yeah, we often think of it as freedom of speech, but we're technically talking about freedom of the press. It's a blatant account. It's like, oh, by the way, this might violate your terms of service. It is not. Why are we spending FBI dollars? Why are the American people paying our tax dollars to fund an FBI to help enforce Twitter's terms of service? If Twitter wishes to support their terms of service or enforce their terms of service, that's their job, not the FBI. Except, well, the FBI is using it. And I wonder what they could be using it for. Now, what's interesting is Twitter responded to this in a letter sent back. Said, "FBI folks, I've reviewed this already from the TD perspective and suspended three of the accounts for multiple abuse and ban evasion violations. Rodrigo, could you please review @FromMA for possible civic misinformation, or direct to the appropriate part of the Git for their review?" Oh, so here you have the Twitter acting at the request, at the behest of the FBI, to search and investigate. I think that's called a violation of the Fourth Amendment. In fact, I think that would qualify not only as depriving someone of a right based on color of rule, regulation, or custom, but conspiracy to do so, since they're doing it at the behest of the FBI. There's obviously a relationship going on here. And as an example of the things that FBI San Francisco was notifying Twitter about, they provide two tweets they want reviewed. One Twitter user displayed the name Ultra MAGA. Well, obviously that should get them banned. But they stated, "Americans, vote today. Democrats, you vote on Wednesday the 9th. Okay. And as if there aren't thousands of examples of that. And there was another one, another Twitter account that claimed in her post that she's a ballot counter in her state and states, for every negative comment on this post, I'm adding another vote for the Democrats. And if you're not wearing a mask, I'm not counting your vote. Now, again, here we have, at best, you have someone who is claiming that they're violating election law. By the way, state election law, not federal election law. The feds have no say in how most of the states do their elections. But notice that the FBI wants these tweets taken down. Now, from a standpoint, think of it this way. You have a vote, you have a tweet from Ultra MAGA saying, hey, Democrats, vote tomorrow. Yeah, all right, it's a stupid little thing, but it's worthy of FBI resources. But the other one, where you have a state election ballot counter claiming that she's going to intentionally miscount elections, she's going to commit election fraud, and the FBI wants this hidden from view. Why? Shouldn't this be sent to the appropriate authorities for investigation? No. Because the FBI had no legal reason to go searching through this person's tweets. Yes, they're publicly available. But remember, the Constitution doesn't say, the Fourth Amendment doesn't say you have the right to privacy. It says you have the right to be secure from unreasonable searches. Why was the FBI, what is reasonable about the FBI doing a general search looking for something you may have done that was bad? That's called that's done under what's generally referred to as a general warrant. And our framers thought it was one of the worst abuses of liberty that could exist. And in one example, we have an email from the National Election Command Post to FBI San Francisco to coordinate with Twitter. Specifically, the NECP has been made aware of tweets by certain accounts that may warrant additional action due to the accounts being utilized to spread misinformation about the upcoming election. Notice, there's not a claim of foreign interference. It's like, we don't like what they're saying. We are calling it misinformation. If the NECP has examples of fraud, then send it to the states for prosecution. No, this is suppression of freedom of the press. This is, we don't want this information out there, and we're going to manipulate the election process. That's... I don't know how you can come to any other conclusion than the FBI is fraudulently wasting taxpayer dollars to be a social media watchdog for their preferred leaders. And what's interesting is looking at some of these accounts that the FBI has flagged. You know, we did see the Ultra MAGA guy, and I see one here for Trump. Funny, I don't see any Biden or Harris tweets. I don't see, of course, this happened in 2022, but I don't see any Biden or Harris supporters. I don't see their accounts being flagged by the FBI. Again, that I don't believe it has anything to do with the fact that Biden is currently in office. I think there is an institutional bias, a bureaucratic bias towards totalitarianism, and the FBI has figured out a way to help help protect those that feed the bureaucracy. Now, there's more, but before I get to that, I do have a break coming up, but I want you to consider what you have here are multiple federal agencies meddling in the election, because these all appear to be election-related tweets that are generating this traffic, Are federal tax dollars being spent by federal law enforcement and federal intelligence agencies to enforce? Do we really believe it's to enforce Twitter's terms of service, or do they have another agenda? And Twitter's terms of service is just—it's an easy way to try to get around the rules. Well, we'll look at that a bit closer. As I said, I do have a break coming up. Before I do, I want to remind you that there's still a few days left. You have until New Year's Day to get 20% off my books at constitutionstudy.com. I'm also giving you 20% off my Made in Tennessee t-shirts. Don't have many left, but you're more than welcome to try them out and get 20% off. I got another special for you. If you go to constitutionscholars.com, you go to the shop there, I'm giving you 50% off my Constitution study. Now, as soon as you sign up, you'll not only get access to, or as soon as you purchase it, you'll not only get access to recording of last year's study, but you'll be invited to the 2023 study as soon as I get it worked out. So check that out. It's constitutionstudy.com and constitutionscholars.com. Also, are you tired of being tired? You want to fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed and ready to go? Well, try Healthy Cells REM Sleep Supplement. It is the only supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep from a company, Healthy Cell, that is a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level. Now, I use this when I travel. My wife and my daughter love this stuff. And you can get 25% off your first order just for being an America Out Loud listener. Just go to HealthyCell.com and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So do me a favor. Go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, put anything you want in there, including, by the way, REM sleep if you want to try it. When you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your very first order.
I can tell you, one of the greatest pathophysiologic drivers for tiredness and fatigue during the day is poor quality sleep at night. People always focus on how long they slept, but they never think about the quality. And to improve the quality, there's a terrific product. That's the Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement. And what I tell friends and family and patients is take it every night consistently. It comes in a convenient bioabsorbable gel pack. Take it right before you go to bed. Take the gel pack, brush your teeth, go to bed. Its effects are nearly instantaneous, and patients get a well-rested sleep continuously, day after day, week after week, month after month. And then that daytime tiredness and fatigue melts away when there's a greater restful sleep the night before. So give it a try. Go to HealthyCell.com, and in the promotional code, type in Out Loud for 20% off your order. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoined the Constitution Study today. Well, we're back into the Twitter files, the gift that just keeps on giving. And today we're looking at the FBI's meddling in elections from 2020 right through 2022. We've seen examples of the FBI claiming to be enforcing Twitter's acceptable use policy. Of course, why Are federal dollars being spent to enforce Twitter's terms of service? I have no idea. I believe that's just a canard, right? It's the FBI is out to get somebody or to get a message off the air, and they're using Twitter's rules, policies as a fan to hide just how ugly what it is they're doing. But there's more coming out here, and I found this interesting. This is a letter from Jim Baker. Now, Jim Baker was an FBI, he was an attorney at the FBI. If memory serves, he was deep into the Russia hoax. He then became deputy general counsel for Twitter. And back in September, he sent this interesting letter where he claims, he's lists of, this is the election-related work I've completed on today, Wednesday, September 16th. He says, I prepared in our monthly, soon to be weekly, 90-minute meeting with FBI, DOJ, DHS, CDNI, and industry partners on election threats. So stop for a second here. So there were originally monthly, now, or at least I guess leading up to the election, weekly meetings between Twitter and federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies. Does that bother anybody else? It should. If you believe in freedom and liberty, if you believe in this idea of freedom of speech and freedom of the press, you should be concerned that you have these agencies. Now, again, I'm not saying that there isn't a situation where these agencies might have something to say when you're dealing with probable cause of foreign influence on the elections, right? The violation of foreign relations, foreign, you know, when I talk about federal election laws, legitimate ones, not ones where they're trying to regulate every part of the election, but to regulating foreign influence on the elections, right? That's one thing, but that's not what we're seeing in these tweets. What we're seeing is, hey, we don't like this person because, because they were ultra MAGA, because they were humorously telling their opponents to vote at the wrong time, or the fact that they were hiding apparently a person who claimed that they were going to commit election fraud, but she was going to do so from a certain political viewpoint. So what are some of the as you put it, interesting items of note that were going on in these meetings? Well, one was claim that foreign adversaries are amplifying things being advanced by domestic answers to undermine the legitimacy of the election. Now, think for just a second here. Okay, are foreign entities, or they say foreign adversaries, amplifying stuff that's being created domestically? They've already admitted they're going after domestic actors. They are going after the American people to suppress their right because, well, they say their actions would undermine the legitimacy of the election. Wait to the third segment and you see some of the legitimacy in these elections that really should be questions. Now, he said, I explicitly asked if there were any impediments with the ability of the government to share classified information or other relevant information with the industry. FBI was adamant that no impediments to information sharing existed. Oh, so the FBI is going to take classified information and expose it to Twitter in order to help get, their political opponents suppressed? He said, Ms. Baker said, I asked if U.S. government was tracking foreign threats related to non-presidential races. Long silence. Interesting. He says, the government is not tracking foreign interference or threats related down ballot races. So they apparently were only interested. This is September 2020. I think I got the date wrong. This is September 2020. And we see the FBI specifically targeting the presidential race. They're not interested in stopping misinformation. They're only interested in stopping certain information about the presidential race. Now, he said on September 17th, it would be a Thursday, over 2,300 high-risk politician and journalist accounts will be promoted to upgrade their security settings. Oh, so they're targeting high-risk political accounts and journalist accounts. And I'm curious what he means by upgrading their security settings. He links to a discussion in a previous email. So what we see here, We see the legal counsel saying, yep, it's okay. We're going to treat certain high-risk accounts differently. We're going to work with the FBI, and we're going to get access to all sorts of confidential information in the attempt to manipulate the election. Because the only thing these government entities were interested in was the presidential election. Now, here's what's interesting, because one of the ones that got flagged, there was a specific tweet on the Illinois use of modems to transmit election results in possible violation of Twitter's civic integrity policy. Except, according to the information, they do use that technology in limited circumstances, meaning the election data is transmitted over telephone wires or some sort of electronic communication. But why would that require a tweet to be flagged? If that is happening, and they admit it is happening, not routinely, but in according to the state of Illinois, limited circumstances, but that needs to get flagged because it's true. Is that what Twitter has come down to? They're going to flag tweets that are true because they're inconvenient. And we have evidence of multiple federal, not just the FBI, multiple federal. We even see state governments flagging content. State and federal governments looking to suppress information. And even if you say, well, okay, this is misinformation, what gives them the authority to determine what is and isn't true? Remember, the Russia hoax was true until it wasn't. And the ineffectiveness of the vaccines to stop transmission was false, was misinformation until it was proven true. See, what we have here, regardless of where you fall on these specific questions and the specific events, do you really want the government deciding what is and isn't true, what you should and should not be allowed to see? And are you willing to work with a company that conspired with the federal government to deprive you of information in an attempt to manipulate the election? Now, they may fully believe that they are manipulating it for the good, that they're trying to do what is right. They're still manipulating the election. They're still manipulating the people and how they vote. They are still taking us from a republic to a banana republic. We'll take this, talking about the state level. Donald Trump tweeted, California hired a pure Sleepy Joe Democrat firm to count and, quote, harvest, close quote, votes. No way Republicans get a fair shake. Lawyers get started. Add GOP leader, California is in big trouble. Vote Trump and watch the greatest comeback of them all. He also, New York and Illinois, go for it. Now, this tweet apparently, didn't sit well with certain people in California because the California officials, they filed a complaint in the Twitter partner support portal, asking them to deal with it. And then when apparently nothing happened, they asked, why was no action taken? In other words, apparently this California official expected Twitter to take this down. Now, I don't know where it's... Here's the problem I run into, and hopefully a lot of you understand where I'm coming from. See, my liberty instinct is to let private companies. Yes, they at that time Twitter was publicly traded. It is still a private company. It is owned. It is not funded by the public. It is owned and funded by individuals and businesses that invest, that own shares in the company. And I want to allow them to speak freely. I want them to allow content on their platform, and I want them to be able to disallow content they don't like on their platform. But here we see not simply a question of Twitter setting policies. We see a conspiracy between Twitter and multiple agencies in the federal government, and within the states to manipulate the information that people can see on the Twitter platform related to the election. And again, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. Remember, the whole idea of yellow journalism went back to what, the 1800s. And I think the term was actually coined in 1900, but it came from the from newspapers printing and suppressing information to support or detract from their political opponents. You know, they would print favorable articles for those they wanted to be elected, and they'd print damaging articles for those they didn't want to be elected. This is nothing new. What is so wonderful about this is now, A, information is more, pardon this term, democratized. You're not limited to what some newspaper editor will print, what some newspaper publisher will try to get in front of your face. You can go to a lot of different places to get this information. But we also see is that what's now coming to light is that government officials and businesses will abuse that ability. They will take that information and they will use it to their own political advantage. The nice thing is, thanks to Elon Musk, we now know about it. See, there was a lot of assumptions. There was a lot of anecdotal and circumstantial evidence. More and more, we are getting from the words of government officials and officials at Twitter that they intentionally set up systems to suppress information that they didn't like. I can't wait till the COVID Twitter files come out. That should be a real blast. But remember, these only worked because people fell for the grift. People fell for the lie. They didn't bother looking for themselves. And when someone would say something contradictory, well, they would just, well, you know, that's just a conspiracy theory. You know, it's funny. I've talked before about the constitutional two-minute drill, you know, where I take in 2 minutes, prove that a certain federal agency doesn't legally exist. I did it with the CDC several times. I won't do it again here unless you want me to. Maybe that's it. Here you go. Here's a challenge for you. If you want me to prove that a certain agency does not legally exist, first of all, make sure it's an agency that doesn't legally exist. And then go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Ask a question and ask me to answer it on the radio. Now, understand, in my view, there are agencies that don't legally exist. There are agencies that do legally exist. And there are agencies that they legally exist, but they go far beyond their constitutional authority. So you're going to get one of those three answers to your question. But back to what I was saying, I pointed out here are the CDC does not legally exist. And one person came back and asked if I gaslit much. And the funny thing, I said, go back and show me what clause of the Constitution did I misquote? What Supreme Court opinion did I misrepresent? I haven't heard back yet. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. A lot of times people just throw this stuff at me and then walk away. They don't want to actually have a debate. But it shows why it's important that we do this research for ourselves. If you're sitting on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or any of these platforms, by the way, that includes Parler or Gab or Getter, and you're expecting them to give you the information you need, well, you're not being diligent in your duty. Your duty as a citizen of the United States to not simply to vote, but to vote intelligently. By that, I don't mean that you agree with me, but to make sure that when you're voting, you've decided for yourself who you're voting for based on your understanding of the Constitution, of the laws, and of the policy we should be adopting under those. So I don't need you to agree with me. Sure, I'd love it if you did, but what I really need you to do is to make sure that you're double-checking what you believe are facts. Because as we've already seen, those facts are being manipulated. We saw 2 years ago, the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Today, it's truth. It's proven. But you see, that didn't do us any good in 2020, did it? When 17% of Biden voters in one poll said they would have voted differently if they'd known about the laptop. See, that's where this information, this abuse of our freedom of the press, this conspiracy to deprive you of the ability to speak freely on a by using a private platform, it's why it's so dangerous. And it's why we, the people, need to find out for ourselves what is and isn't true. Sure, it'd be easy to sit back and let someone else do it for us, but that's not the way the world works. Sorry. So hopefully the Constitution study, this is one of the places where at least you're willing to take a start, right? Trust but verify. You're willing to listen to what I have to say, and then you're willing to double check and see if it's true, if it works, if it makes sense. As Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. It has to be the way we go about doing things. But hopefully the Constitution study is not the only voice that you listen to. So I'm only one of many voices, including voices on AmericaOutloud.com. So please, I would recommend you go to AmericaOutloud.com every day to find out the latest news and happenings. You'll get different points of view. You'll find articles and videos and podcasts and stories looking at the world from all of our different points of view. Sometimes we even get together on each other's shows and discuss and debate it. But you have to do more. See, if you're informing yourself for that vote, that's one thing. But if you really want to make a difference, share it. Share that information, the articles, the podcasts. Share all you can, share everywhere you can. See, we need help. We here at America Out Loud, we develop content, but we can only spread it so far on our own. That's where you come in. Spread the news, spread the information, spread the articles and the videos. Work with us so that together we can help secure the blessings of liberty.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan, a plan based on real science that responds to the real-world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You have rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're looking at, well, FBI, conspiracies, Twitter, and other election meddling nonsense and issues. Now, one thing you know, if you've been paying any attention, is the question about what happened on January 6th, the demonstration that did have some bad actors in it that broke into the Capitol. Some of them simply wandered around their capital to see what was going on. Others did some damage. And that has been the excuse for kangaroo courts in Congress, for FBI sweeping up people that were simply near the Capitol based on illegal searches of geolocation data, all sorts of fun stuff like that. Well, one of the other problems the FBI has been having lately is whistleblowers. We have whistleblowers pointing out just how badly the FBI is acting, especially in relation to January 6th, how they've how Attorney General has worked with the FBI and the Department of Justice to flag, flag parents that disagree with school boards as potential domestic violent extremists, to flagging people who were near the January 6th, to just expanding, right, creating multiple cases in order to make it look like the domestic violent extremists and terrorist groups related to January 6th were spread across the country. Well, recently, actually back in January, the FBI informed one of their employees that their security clearance was being suspended because an internal probe found out that, he'd been espousing conspiratorial views and promoting unreliable information that indicates support for events related to the riot, quote unquote, I quote riot, which occurred on January 6, 2021. Now, this is according to Judicial Watch, who has filed a lawsuit on behalf of this particular employee. Now, the letter from the FBI says, "These allegations raise sufficient concerns about your allegiance to the United States and your judgment to warrant a suspension of your clearance pending further investigation." Now, I want to stop and think about that for a second. So the question is, the allegiance to the United States. Well, what is the United States? Is the United States the federal government? Is the United States the FBI? Or is the United States the union of states created under the Constitution? See, when this person, Mr. Marcus Allen, joined the FBI, by the way, after having previously served distinguishedly in the military, he was awarded service awards by both the Navy and he received the Marine Corps Commendation Medal. Now, when he went to serve in the military or in the FBI, he took an oath. He took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. Not the current administration, not the FBI, not the president, not even the federal government. The Constitution of the United States. But for supporting a demonstration, which everybody calls it a riot, which I admit there was a small part of it that was a riot, not saying there wasn't, but for supporting the January 6th, he's considered unreliable by the FBI. And in fact, a month after receiving that letter from the FBI, he was placed on administrative leave without pay because his security clearance had been suspended. He couldn't work for the FBI. Now, the lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch, I believe, is suing Director Wray, alleging that they violated the constitutionally protected rights by accusing him of conspiratorial views, revoking his clearance, and suspending him from duty without pay without any evidence. See, the suit alleges that Mr. Allen had demonstrated his allegiance to the U.S. through years of exemplary military and law enforcement service, that he was not involved in the events of January 6th, did not support them in any material way, but voiced views that were supporting him. And in fact, the FBI has made no allegations or offered any evidence to the contrary. So this will be interesting to watch to see where this case goes. Because, as I said, the FBI, they've had problems with whistleblowers lately, and maybe this will be another one to see just how the bureaucracy within the FBI does not take well to people who disagree with it. Now, remember earlier I was talking about the FBI flagging tweets because, well, they brought into question the election. Take a look at what's been going on in Arizona, Maricopa County specifically. See, there have been some internal communications between top election officials in Maricopa County. You know what they found? So they've been struggling to reconcile a discrepancy in the vote totals, a discrepancy of almost 16,000 votes. Now, put that in context. The governor's race was decided by a margin of 17,000 votes. It brings into question the validity of the stated outcome of that election, does it not? Well, for example, in a letter from the county board of supervisors, I guess, no, he was the recorder. He sent a letter that said they were unable to reconcile the Secretary of State listing with our estimates from yesterday. See, Maricopa County showed approximately 392,000 ballots left to be counted, while the Secretary of State's website said there were 407,000 plus left to be counted. So there's 15,000 difference somewhere. Somewhere there's almost 16, well, you do the math, it actually came up to almost 16,000. Where were they? And this is only one of many complaints about what's been going on in Maricopa County. And I have to ask, if there are these types of problems in the elections, should we be trusting the elections? See, that's the one thing that people say. Well, you know, you're destroying the trust in the elections. Well, if the elections are not trustworthy, why should we expect people to trust them? There's a lot here, and by the way, I'm not saying that these Twitter files are the end all and be all. But as we see that there are problems in our election, if we simply bury our head in the sand and pretend it's not there, or pretend it doesn't matter, then we shouldn't be surprised in 2 years when it comes up again. This has been going on for over two decades. We've been dealing with problems in the election. Some of them have been fixed, right? I remember the 2000 election, questions about pregnant chads and hanging chads. And I give Florida credit. They've done a pretty good job at fixing their problems. They were one of the few big contested states that not only had early balloting, but was able to announce with very high confidence the results of the election that very night after the election, after the polls closed. That, to me, is a good thing. That is what instills confidence in our elections, not the suppression of information that people find uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes you just got to go back and double check the figures. For example, Lycoming County in Pennsylvania, they're going to conduct a recount of the 2020 presidential election results. Yeah, not 2022. They're going all the way back to 2020. Why did they do that? Well, the county commissioners received a petition with 5,000 names on it. The county only has 70,000 registered voters. So that seemed to be a good reason to maybe we need to go back and double check. Now, before some of you get all excited, it doesn't really mean anything at this point. So you have to remember, there is a two-step election for president. They're looking at a recounting a small part of step one, right? This is not all of Pennsylvania. It is one county in Pennsylvania. But let's say that count would change the outcome of the county. Doesn't make much of a difference because Pennsylvania is a winner-take-all state. I'm 99% sure of that. But let's say it even changed the outcome of the state election. Would that change the outcome of the election of the presidential electors? No. No, the Pennsylvania does not have enough electors to change it. But even that wouldn't matter. Even if they did have enough electors to change the outcome of the election for president, it's too late. Those electors have already been appointed. They were appointed in a manner determined by the legislature of the state of Pennsylvania. Now, I actually talked with people in Pennsylvania, and they had problems, right? Because they had courts changing rules for electing presidential electors, which violates the Constitution. But the legislature wasn't willing to do anything about it. So now it's more about making people feel better. Too late. It's not going to make a difference, but they're going to spend the money. They're going to take the time. Maybe they'll learn something from it, but I don't know. I look at recent history and I think not so much. Now, again, there are states that are trying to make things better. A lot of states are trying to make things worse. We apparently didn't learn from mass mail-in balloting. We have states still driving towards that. But there's another change that I want you to take consideration of. And this one's a little interesting. It's called ranked choice voting. And it is a bit complicated. The idea is when you go into the ballot box, when you look at any office, and I see this mostly, by the way, in primaries rather than general elections, but it could be applied to any. You don't pick one name. Generally, you pick three, right? This is my first choice. This is my second choice. This is my third choice. And then the ballots are analyzed based on this. It's a little complicated, right? They take all the first choices and they compare them. And if nobody gets 50% plus one, then they take the number one choices that had the fewest votes. All right. So you pull names in the list. Whoever had the fewest number ones gets those choices get set aside. They get thrown out. The number twos become number ones. The numbers, right, for that person. So if you voted for candidate A and A had the fewest number of number ones, well, then candidate A would be pulled out of the running. Whoever was behind them got moved up, and then they tried again. And they keep doing this until somebody gets an actual majority of votes. I have some, I don't know, I'm a little unsettled about this. Why? Well, on the one hand, I look at it and say, listen, if my top choice guy doesn't win, maybe I'd rather pick somebody else rather than the other side, right? Because this turns out to be a political party thing. That's why I see it. That's why it first started popping up in primaries. And it's, the idea is, you know, hey, we didn't get a majority, so give you a second or third chance at it. And I know a lot of people are complaining, oh, it helps the incumbents. We have a much bigger problem. The bigger problem is the fact that the political parties have so manipulated our election system that they tend to keep the remain incumbents, right? Now, I don't know if ranked choice voting is the best solution to it. It's a possible solution, right? You go to the ballot box and say, hey, my number one choice for president was Biden. My number two was Bernie. My number three was Trump. Maybe you don't get Biden. Maybe you get Bernie. And maybe you don't feel so bad. Yes, it's complicated how it gets counted. So it confuses a lot of people, which makes people a little less sanguine about it. But understand, there's a trade-off, right? See, if you don't get a majority, what do you do? Well, option most states use today is a plurality. Whoever gets a plurality, they get all the goodies. The other option, yes, you've got ranked choice voting. You know what the other option is? The other option is something more like we have when the electors vote. See, if you read the 12th Amendment, if a candidate for president doesn't get a majority of the electors, then the decision, they take the top three names, and that goes to the House of Representatives. By the way, for the vice president's top two names going to the Senate. Now, why this really becomes an issue is if we get away from party domination, the idea that the political parties get to choose who you can vote for or most easily vote for, then we're more likely to have these three-way, four-way, five-way, eight-way races where someone's not going to get a majority. How do you deal with that? And each one of those choices has consequences. By the way, that's also why this is done at the state level. The federal level, you guys, the President of the United States, that's dealt with in the Constitution, in the 12th Amendment. Each one of the states needs to figure out a way for themselves. How are we going to do this? Are we going to reinforce a two-party system where anybody not the champion of those two parties doesn't stand a snowball's chance? Are we going to come up with some other way of dealing with a lack of a majority? And we have to decide. Again, I don't know that ranked choice voting is the best way of doing it. At the state level, I don't know if having another entity make the decision is the best way of doing it. What I do know is that if the states were to spend a little more time trying to figure out how best to serve their people rather than how to best serve their party, well, maybe we'd come up with some other ideas that would be not only more effective, but more palatable. Maybe we could learn from some of these. But to do that, we have to try something different. Because as Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity. And while, yeah, America may be crazy, I don't know if we're fully insane yet. So hopefully you look at this and you see, maybe we are crazy. Maybe this idea of just sitting back and watching while the federal government meddles in elections or while states can't perform a simple election and get their numbers counted, their votes counted in a timely fashion, or even how you go about deciding when you've got more than one person on a ticket. Maybe we're all crazy for thinking this is how it works. But this idea is what we were given by our framers. And it has created the greatest country this world has ever seen. If we want to keep it that way, we're going to have to figure this out. Now, we can continue to discuss and debate this every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. That's when the Constitution Study is on the air. Can't listen live? Find the podcast. Find it in your favorite podcast app. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But here's the important thing. We need to share this information. We need to invite others to this debate. I can't do it alone. I need your help. So find those links, find the articles and stories, share them, friends, family, online, wherever you can, so we can share in fighting for the blessings of liberty for everyone, from sea to shining sea.